Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. If you're joining with us for the first time this morning, I'm John McGimsey, a pastor here at Grace, and I am glad to be with you and with all of the church this morning as we come together to celebrate Easter, to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's just pray. Let's just bow our heads in prayer as we begin this morning. Thank you, Lord, for Easter. Thank you that we have so much to celebrate at Easter time. Thank you that we have reason to celebrate your death and what you accomplished for us on the cross through your death. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate the resurrection, what you accomplished for us in the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us life, that you've given us hope, that you have given us reason to celebrate the fact that we have been made right with God, that you have given us confidence, that you have accomplished salvation for us. Lord, we just pray that you would impress the reality of these truths upon our heart this morning by your Holy Spirit, that you would refresh us and renew us, that you would vitalize us as we understand and appreciate and worship you through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Be with us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you are well aware, we are currently living through a global pandemic. You know, COVID-19, coronavirus, these words have become very familiar to us. And it has been interesting to see the effect that this has had upon us as we have been living through this global pandemic. Some of those effects would be expected, of course, and others would be unexpected. One of the things that has interested me is that there has been a general increase in our preoccupation with death. You know, we read the newspaper articles, we read the news online, we hear the news, and what we're hearing is about death tolls. You know, death tolls in faraway countries, and those death tolls can make us wince. We grieve with the countries that are suffering loss. We feel their grief, and we hope to hear the good news of those death tolls dropping. We've also had to reconcile with and realize that the threat has come close into our own country, into our own communities, and that has filled us with worry. You know, we're in a unique season in some senses where we have an elevated preoccupation with the idea of death. Now, this preoccupation is not unusual to the human experience. It is not a new human experience. In fact, it's a common human experience to be preoccupied with the idea of death. It's not original what we're going through. It's not fresh, and it's not unexpected. In fact, you might call death the great, you know, preoccupation of human history. It is the one singular thing that everyone in this world has had to reconcile with, has had to be preoccupied with in some sense. Now, why is that? Why is it that we are so preoccupied with death? The first reason, of course, is because death happens, 100% guaranteed. The second reason, though, of course, is because death is scary. Death is worrying. Death worries us. It fills us with anxiety. It is something that we find hard to carry around with us. It is something that happens. Death happens, and death is scary. Now, Ernest Becker, in his book Denial of Death, picked up on these two ideas when he said, "The idea of death, the fear of it, haunts the human animal like nothing else." He says, you know, there are things that worry us, for sure. There are things that worry all of us in different ways for particular reasons. You know, some are worried about this, some are worried about this. But he says, if you want one thing that haunts the human like nothing else, it is the fear of death. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews recognized this as well when he said, people through fear of death are subject to lifelong slavery. You know, fear of death is enslaving to people, lifelong enslavement because of the fear of death. You know, humans throughout all of human history have agonized over death, have been troubled by death as long as death has been part of the human existence. Why is that? because we know that one day, without fail, we will draw our last breath, we will sleep and never wake, we will return to the dust from which we came. Now, I appreciate you might be thinking at this stage, wow, you know, I've barely got the, you know, the tingling taste of those delicious Easter eggs out of my mouth. And here we are talking about death. This is a little bit somber. This has left me a little bit anxious. You're getting me worried, John. Why are you talking about death? The reason I'm talking about death this morning is because Sunday, Easter Sunday, out of all days on the calendar, especially for the Christian, is the day where we can find the most concrete, you know, relief for the anxiety that we experience as a result of death. Easter Sunday is the day of all days that provides us with the most comfort as those who experience anxiety and fearfulness about death. Because on Easter Sunday, we celebrate death's death, the end of death's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus rose again. Death had no power over him. He conquered death. And you know, this leaves us with an incredible sense of confidence. Our faith is not in vain. Our faith is not in vain. Jesus accomplished. He finished the work of salvation. It is for us guaranteed. It leaves us confident as well that his resurrection as the forerunner is a pattern for our resurrection, which is ours in Christ. We can have great hope and great confidence because of his resurrection in Christ. We neither need to fear death nor avoid the reality of death. Death is no threat to us. It has no power over us. Death is gain. Today, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate death's death in the resurrection of Christ. Now, before we unpack that a little bit more, let's just take a step back 2 days and remember Easter Friday. On Easter Friday, we remember the death of Christ and celebrate the death of Christ. Jesus died a miserable, grotesque, very decisive death on the cross in the hands of those professional and proficient Roman killers, you know. And we don't celebrate Jesus' death because it was morbid, grotesque, decisive, or at the hands of the Romans. We celebrate Christ's death because of what he was accomplishing in his death, what he was accomplishing for us in his death. He was accomplishing for us our salvation. If you think about our context, you know, who we are and where we are at, we are in a creation designed, made by a holy God who created creation itself and us as the high point of creation, made in perfection, the apple of his eye. We live in a context where that God, that holy God, reigns over creation and his creatures as he is fully entitled to do as the creator. The question then we can ask is, how does God see us today as the creator? He sees us after the fall, you know, in this current context, both in with our residual beauty as those who he created, who were made in his image, and he also sees us with the deep corruption of our hearts. You know, we rejected him. He created us, offered us relationship, offered us, you know, this harmony between creation, himself, and us, this beautiful relationship that we once experienced. He reigned over us for our good. It was a blessing to be under his care. Yet we rejected that, the very thing that we were designed for. Today, God sees us in our corruption, the corruption of our hearts, which he calls sin. Because he is perfectly just as a holy God, he cannot ignore or sweep our sin under the carpet as though it doesn't exist. Neither can he ignore the promised consequences for sin, which is death itself. And that is why we celebrate the death of Jesus Christ on Easter Friday, because on the cross, the thing that we celebrate at on Easter Friday, God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, the only perfect, undeserving, sinless man on behalf of us. He died the death that we deserved because of sin. As a representative, he died on our behalf, in our place, so that in him God could say the price for your sin has been paid in my Son, so that through faith in Christ we can know that we are right with God. On Easter Friday, we celebrate the death of Jesus. We also remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15:17, when he says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." Our faith is futile if Friday is not followed by Sunday, if the death of Christ is not followed by the resurrection of Christ. See, Jesus wasn't just some false Messiah. You know, there was plenty of those. He wasn't another false Messiah, you know, stirring up political unrest, but in reality powerless against the people of the day. You know, he isn't martyred, buried, and forgotten like all of the other, you know, false messiahs of the day. He was raised by the power of God and now has ascended and is seated with God on high. Jesus is alive. His work has been finished. On Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb. In the New Testament, Dr. Luke, the historian, compiled the gospel account, the narrative of how this all happened. He did this for a man called Theophilus, and he describes for us the point in time where the resurrection was realized or discovered locally. And in Luke chapter 22, he teaches us the way that this was discovered by taking us into the story of these two women who were on their way to find Jesus. They were carrying with them these spices and ointments because their expectation is that they were going to dress a body, that they were going to do the appropriate processes of after death that were unable to be done because of the particular day and time that Jesus died. They were heading to Joseph's tomb where Jesus was buried. They were heading there, you know, thinking that Jesus had been lost to them, that this was the end. They were burdened with spices and ointments and burdened with grief as they approached the burial place of Jesus. But they, as they approached the tomb, realized that the stone had been rolled away. And there they were met by two almost incredulous, dazzling angels who announce Christ's absence, who announce that Jesus is not here. They say, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? You know, why are you here to look for Jesus? He is not amongst the dead. He is not here, but he has risen." You know, you don't go to the freezer to look for your laundry. You don't go to the supermarket if you want to buy a car. And you don't go to a tomb if you're looking for someone who is alive. The angels are saying to these two women, you know, you're looking for a corpse or a cadaver when Christ has risen. He is alive. Now, was this a false promise made to grieving women to give them some sort of comfort? No. Jesus would appear later to hundreds of people. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul records all this for us. Christ's appearances after his resurrection. He first appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. You know, Paul's saying, these people are there. You know, go talk to them. You know that they are able to testify to this being true. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one untimely born, he also appeared to me. You know, before the ascension, before Jesus went to be with his Father and sit at the right hand of God after finishing his work, he appeared to both the disciples and the doubters. He appeared to the devoted as well as appearing to the one who was seeking to destroy the church, Paul himself. Jesus appeared, showing the resurrection to be very real. He was alive. He had risen. He had conquered the grave. In his resurrection, we see the ultimate victory, the victory that through all of history we have been looking for. This victory is something that humanity, even in humanity's amazing medical, scientific, and technological ability, advanced and refined over thousands of years, has only ever been able to delay. A victory over death that we have only ever been able to delay. Jesus had victory over death itself. In the resurrection, we see that Jesus conquered death. He conquered death. Death had no power over him. In the resurrection, we remember that Jesus paved a way for our salvation. In the resurrection, we are reminded that Jesus shows us the way to our future resurrection in Christ himself. Jesus reminds us, as he reminds Martha in John 11, that he is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. The ultimate threat in life is death. Death is something that grips us, fills us with fear, makes us anxious, makes us worried. The resurrection, though, of Jesus Christ has stripped death of its power. Ernest Becker reminded us of the haunting reality of death. Paul, when writing to the Corinthian church, he's quoting two prophets who centuries before Christ had come had spoken of the death of death and the future resurrection. He says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" If you think of death as an opposing army, you know, overwhelmingly powerful, through the resurrection we see that they are without ammunition. If you think of death prowling the world like a ferocious lion, the resurrection has rendered that lion, formerly ferocious, now frail, toothless, and arthritic. It bears no threat to us. We will, of course, in Christ, even unless Christ returns before that day, experience death. And for many of us, including myself, the process of dying is still scary. It's terrifying. We think of the grief of losing people. We think of the pain of dying. We think of all the things associated with death. And there is still a genuine fearfulness associated with that. But for us in Christ, the future is sure. Death has no power over us in Christ. Death cannot threaten us in Christ. Death cannot enslave us in Christ. We are liberated from this in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, as a culture, we have been dealing with the alarming reality of death without ever disarming death of its true power. You know, the government has been reminding us that we can only do our best, that we need to work together. And all that they're accomplishing is the delay of death. You know, we're reminded through the naturalistic philosophy of the day that we are powerless to death. In fact, that is just part of the natural process, the natural cycle of life. Ernest Becker reminds us the idea of death, the fear of it, haunts the human animal like nothing else. The good news of Easter Sunday confronts this head on by saying death has been conquered. Death has no power anymore, and in that we find great comfort, even in the midst of pandemics, even in the midst of panic. We are not haunted by death anymore. If we are in Christ, the resurrection is guaranteed. The resurrection is ours. Death is just the beginning, and that is the great news of Easter Sunday. Let's just pray as we finish this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for the resurrection. We're so thankful for the way that you have conquered death, that death is not a threat anymore. We thank you for the way that that can provide us with genuine relief. We ask that you administer that relief to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.